Bruchem Abayim to the 10th and continuing series of lectures on the 13 principles of faith of Maimonides, the Yogimel Ikrim of the Rambam, as the Rambam presents them in the Hakdama to Perek Chelek. Last time we were in the Yisoid HaShvi. I'm reading once again from the Rabbi Shilat's translation, from the direct translation for the Arabic. And the Yisoid HaShvi, we're speaking about the Nevuos Moshe Rabbeinu. We spent some time on the Nevuos Moshe Rabbeinu. And I raised the question. The Rambam in Yisoid HaShvi basically presents to us the picture of Moshe Rabbeinu as being what he calls Bechir Hashem Mikol HaMin HaNoshi, which means Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest level of intellect that any person before him or ever after him will ever reach. And the Rambam's four distinctions which he draws between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the prophets basically reduces to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's uses of intellect was in fact the mainstay of his nevuah, of his prophecy. In other words, the four differences are not, are just a way of saying that Moshe Rabbeinu used his intellect whatever he wanted and was totally in control of himself, which means that really it was in fact intellect and none other type of, let's say, imaginary faculty which is involved in his nevuah, his prophecy. The question which I raised at the end of the Shia, which I want to address today, is in fact the what the Rambam says in the Yisoid HaShmini. Yisoid HaShmini, which is termed the Shamayim, the Rambam says that part of, you know, the belief that the entire Torah is min HaShamayim, right, requires our belief that Moshe Rabbeinu in fact faithfully transcribed the Torah. And he says, and Rambam, quoting now the Rambam, the Yisoid HaShmini, the eighth principle, Shumadrega Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu is a scribe, Shekoyim Lo Yivu Kosef Kula, right? They call him, or the work is read to him, or said to him, and in fact, actually, he writes it, right? V'chei Nikra Lef Moshe Rabbeinu is called a Mechoykek. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is a scribe. He's the perfect secretary. Now, if in fact that is what is required to give the Torah to the Jewish people, so for what reason do we need Moshe Rabbeinu to have reached the highest level of intellect in Jewish history? On the contrary, in my opinion, my humble opinion, someone with great intellect would probably be less counted on to provide a detailed and a reliable transcription than a secretary, a zitzabach, as you say in Yiddish. So the question that I raised at the last end of last year was that we seem to have these fundamentally contradictory understandings of Moshe Rabbeinu. For what need do I have for Moshe Rabbeinu to be on this highest intellectual level in history, in the history of the Jewish people, in the history of mankind, as far as the Rambam is concerned, when in fact the Maila, the great achievement of Moshe Rabbeinu, was to be a faithful scribe, a faithful secretary? And that's the question that I raised at the end of last week. Okay, now, we can go into all bunch of pilpulim, all different type of caustic arguments and dialectics in trying to resolve this dichotomy, but I don't think that's really necessary, because I don't think that the Yud Gimel Ikrim, as I mentioned before, is interested in really presenting us with a history, but rather presenting us with a working understanding of the fundamentals of the faith of the Torah. So, in order to understand what I feel the Rambam is coming to present to us in both Yisoid HaShvi and Yisoid HaShmini, this after Yisoid HaShmini, I think it's important that we take a look at what the Rambam says elsewhere. Once again, I'm sure that many people will be able to resolve this using all the types of dialectics from different Talmudic passages and drashas. Drashas are exercises in inspiration, but are usually far from being accurate. However, I think if we stick with what the Rambam says himself, then we could best understand really as what the Rambam is coming to present to us in the Ikrim. Now, we all know that the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, a compendium of the mitzvahs of the Torah. The Sefer HaMitzvahs is quite fundamental, because in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam provides us with what he understands to be the D'oraisa component. It was that aspect of the mitzvah which is from the Torah, right? Well, the mitzvahs which are from the Torah, and the parts of the mitzvahs which are from the Torah. Now, the Rambam, in order to explain how he decided to list the mitzvahs, wrote what's called 14 introductions, which are normally called Sharashim. Okay, 14 Sharashim. Maybe one Yashkaf Zagal Daka will go into the Sharashim Sefer Mitzvahs. And the first two Sharashim, which I want to focus upon tonight, are in fact actually present much of what we would understand to be the Rambam's understanding of what's called Deraisim versus Derabbanim. In other words, what aspects of the Torah are deemed min ha-Torah, right? And which parts of the Torah do we regard as being Derabbanim, rabbinical? Now, these two Sharashim are widely misunderstood, especially the second Sharash, but I'm going to really go into what I really feel is the important points which we're going to need in order to understand what the Rambam is presenting to us in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Now, in the Sharash HaRishon, the Rambam, in fact, actually seems to be making the what might appear to be the trivial claim that, of course, it is only fitting to list those mitzvahs which are deraisa and not derabbanan. And the Rambam actually begins with a critique of the Bahag in his list of mitzvahs. And the Rambam goes on to explain that mitzvahs derabbanan should not be listed, only mitzvahs deraisa. However, if a person studies the first Sharash, and I'm not going to study the first Sharash right now with you, but if you actually study the first Sharash deeply with the Pelosh, or the Hasagas of the Ramban, it comes out very clearly that according to the Rambam, every Derabban is a Deraisa. In other words, ultimately, every Gezeirah Derabbanan, law that's learned using one of the Yud Gimel Middas is in fact actually Deraisa. This is, the Ramban understands the Rambam Shita as such. And in fact, this is pretty clear from the Rambam Hilchos Mamon in Perek Aleph. In fact, actually, anyone who transgresses the Ramban is over on Leisasur and on Mitzvahs Aseh, etc., etc. I'm going to go into this in detail, but in fact, that's the Shita Sarambam. The Shita Sarambam is that the Rabbanans are in fact actually Yisur D'oraisa. The fact is that we don't get Malkus because since the Zakat Mamu get Misa, so it's an Azhar, all the Rabbanans are basically Azharas Hanitin L'Azharas Bezdin. No, Misa's Bezdin. So I think this is clear. The Rambam says explicitly in Hilchos Mamre. Okay, so in other words, what we get from Sharash Rishon is the Rambam understands that all Mitzvot Rabbanan are really D'oraisa. The Ramban, of course, takes issue with this. Ramban says that the only things that are really deraisa are after the drushes of Chazal. But gzeiros, takonos, minhagim, according to the Rambam, are in fact mitzvahs de Rabbanan. Okay? Now, which means, according to the Rambam, the Torah is explicitly giving the rabbis authority to either interpret the Torah or to make takonos, to make gzeiros, to make fences to the law, and make all different types of important rabbinical decrees, which will enable it. But this is the Torah is explicitly giving them this authority. It comes out according to the Ramban. The interesting thing is, according to Ramban, the Torah is not supposed to give them this authority in case of gezeiros and takanas, which is very interesting, an issue which we're not going to speak about now. But according to the Ramban, whence this authority? Where does the authority come from? Does it come from the Torah? Okay, that's the Shitas HaRambam in Sharash Rishon. Now, in Sharash Sheni, there's also a major dispute between the Ram and the Ramban. Sharash Sheni is probably the Sharash, perhaps the one part of the Rambam that's probably more ink has been spilt on than any other thing. Namely, the Rambam says explicitly that he's not going to list any mitzvahs which are derived through the Shloshes Remidos Shatar Nidreshes Bahem, because, says the Rambam, they're the Rabbanan. This is directly related to what the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchas Ishos, that Kiddushei Kesef is in fact the Divrei Sofer. Now, there's been much ink spilled on this issue, as I'm sure many of you know, some of the ink spilled on this issue is actually in the Rishimo journal in the first volume, where I and some other people of the distinguished Ashkofer Circle forum actually spilled some ink, or actually, you know, typed up some. I don't know if ink is spilled anymore, but in any case, whatever the analogy would be in typing in the computer. But in any case, that is the, in other words, what emerges though from the Rambam, and you can look at the article there if you want, what emerges from the Rambam is that when the Rambam says that the Rabbanan has for Shalom, we're not saying that the something learned from the Gemidas is the Rabbanan in the sense that the Din is the Rabbanan, Din is the Eraisa. But in fact, the Rambam's contention, and the Rambam's claim is that things that are derived using the Gemidas were generated by the rabbis. In other words, we have to understand that the drushes were not, most of the drushes, according to the Rambam, actually, which use Gemidas, were not a tradition that was handed, was passed on from Moshe Rabbeinu, but they were generated later on in Chazal. And this is pretty clear what the Rambam says. It's amazing how some people can get totally confused about what the Rambam is saying, but once again, there's no limit to how much people can get confused or make confusion on things which should be clear. This is clear in the Rambam, both here in Shir HaSheni, it's clear in the Rambam in Zakdon to Mishnah Torah, it's clear in the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, Parak Beis. In other words, the Rambam's position is that even though drushas of Chazal, right, can produce a din which is a din Torah d'Oraisa, nonetheless, they are rabbinical in the sense that Chazal generated these halachas. They were not passed down by tradition. The Rambam says in his Hakdama to the Perush HaMishnah that wherever we see a machlekes, we should know for sure that this was not a tradition, because it's impossible to do, because the opposite, saying the opposite, would basically to make the claim that Chazal are basically confused, which Chas v'Shalom they are not. So in other words, and this is the position of the Rambam. Okay, so what we have is an interesting thing. According to the Rambam, all rabbinical decrees are in fact actually deraisa. All, right, they're deraisa. In addition to that, the rabbis, Chazal, even when they generate or interpret a pasuk, a verse of the Torah, based upon the 13 hermeneutical ways of interpreting scripture, the Yud Gimel Midas, you could look at ashkofercircle.com for the 10 Shurim on the Yud Gimel Midas, the Chazal will give it the authority to in fact interpret the scripture and come to laws which are actually have a din d'oraisa. So, and the Ramban argues on this. The Ramban's claim is that this is not true. In fact, actually, the laws derived from the Psukim are not coming as a result of Chazal's authority, but rather, the drashas are coming from the logic of the Pasuk itself. That's the Ramban argues. Ramban says is that the drash, the laws, are being derived from the logic of the Pasuk itself. There's a rational, logical, rigorous derivation, and it doesn't involve the authority of the rabbis, but actually the law is right there in the Pasuk. That's the Ramban's claim. Okay, so now, given the dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban, both in Shir HaSheni and both in Shir HaSheni, what we come out is a very interesting thing. According to the Rambam, the entire edifice of the Torah Shebe'al Peh rests upon the authority of Chazal, or of the rabbis, of those who interpret the Torah, or the rabbis who make the edicts and the fences to the law. In other words, it's a din gavra, to use any briskers listening to this shiur, which I'm sure there aren't, that in fact, actually, what the Rambam is saying is, everything rests upon the authority of Chazal. Chazal are given the explicit Torah authority to make takanas, gezeiras, and also to interpret scripture. So the Rambam's understanding, his conception of the oral law, is centered in the rabbinical figure. Whereas in the Ramban, that is most definitive, not true. The drushas have nothing to do with the authority or the integrity or the brilliance of the rabbinical figure, but rather this there in the pasuk, and the rabbinical figure just carries through the logic of the Yud Gimel Midas. It comes out with the halacha. Not to mention is that even though Chazal have the authority to make the takanos and decrees, this is not an explicitly bequeathed Torah authority. Okay? Okay. So, right, let me go further, okay? Now, so, given this, we have to, in fact, actually, in other words, these are the first two shalashim of the Rambam. And they're more than just an introduction to a Sefer HaMitzvahs. This is the Rambam's entire conception. The entire conception of the Rambam, of the oral law, is that it rests upon the intellectual and ethical integrity of those who have the authority to pass the law, through the generations, and the authority to interpret it in every generation, or make decrees and fences to it. Now, my claim is, this is Yisrael Shvi. If, in fact, the oral law bases itself upon the personage of the rabbis, and the ultimate rabbi is Moshe Rabbeinu, so it follows ipso facto that Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, whose Torah, his Torah Shemachsav, and his Torah Shemialpeh, which is Halacha LeMoshe B'Sinai, certainly is of the most important, significant stature, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu himself has to have been of the most important historical stature. Therefore, it's no surprise that the Rambam understood Moshe Rabbeinu to have reached, of course, for the Rambam, the most important level a person can reach is, well, intellectual, and then after that, ethical. So that's what we saw. So who is this person who reached the greatest stature intellectually and ethically? None other than Moshe Rabbeinu. In Perek Shvi, the Rambam focuses upon Moshe Rabbeinu's level of intellect. At the end of chapter 54 of section 3, which we spoke about last time, Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, was the person who came most, the closest, or reaches the highest, the pinnacle of ethical imitation of God's ways. So in other words, the Yisoid HaShvi, the seventh principle of faith, is none other the Rambam's understanding of the personage of Moshe Rabbeinu in accordance with the Rambam's conception of Torah, which is that its authority is vested in the personage of the rabbinical leaders who are called upon explicitly by the Torah to interpret it and also to make the relevant decrees which serve as a bastion for the laws of the Torah. So, in other words, that is Yisrael HaShvi. So, in other words, what I want to claim too is that this is, in essence, not a contradiction to the Yisrael HaShmini. Why? Because in the Yisrael HaShmini, the Rambam is merely telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu writes down the Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu is also the precedent for all rabbinical figures. A rabbinical figure has to be the person who's most suited for the authority which the Torah explicitly bestows upon him. And of course, the most important central biblical figure is that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, ipso facto, Moshe Rabbeinu has to achieve the highest level that can ever achieve by an individual. But they have nothing to do with each other. The Rambam is merely, in Yisrael HaShvi, telling me what I expect from a rabbinical figure. And the Yisrael HaShmini, he's coming, excuse me one second, Yisrael HaShmini, the Rambam is merely giving an account that the Torah was in fact, written down word for word, Moshe Rabbeinu, Mipi HaKavula. Yeah.
So is this basically the distinction Torah Shvalbein, Torah Shebechtzav?
No.
When we get to the Ikka 8, and he says everything that we have is Min HaShamayim, he's really talking there in Torah Shebichtav and Halacha LeMoshe
M'Sinai. That's what he said, right.
And whereas in the Ikka 7, he's really talking about the foundation of Torah Shebaal Peh in the sense of Droshes and Gezeiras, which is rooted wholly in intellectual.
It doesn't sound like that, but in other words, what the Rambam wants to get at is that what are we supposed to believe in the Torah? We're supposed to believe it's Min HaShamayim, faithfully transcribed, whatever we believe it's Min HaShamayim, but we have to believe in the process.
Was there any intellectual process in the writing of the written Torah?
Let me tell you something. There could be, but my guess is not any better than yours. I mean, I'm sure there are many Darshanim who can claim, after many pulpulim and hand-waving and smoke screens, that they've found some way, but I don't think that we have any access. First of all, I don't think we have any access in how Moshe Rabbeinu accessed his prophecy, but I don't think it's relevant. In other words, I don't think it's relevant. The Rambam is not coming to communicate to me what historically happened. And there's no way of my understanding what historically happened, but that's not relevant. The relevant thing is that a person has to believe in the Torah Mesura B'Yadeinu, the Torah that's been handed down to us. So what do I have to believe? I have to believe, number one, that the Torah of Hashem Mo Sinai was transferred and came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I also have to believe the entire process. To believe the entire process means I have to believe the authority of the rabbinical figures. The most central rabbinical figure involved is that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, I have to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu has achieved the highest level that any individual can achieve, which is both intellectual and both ethical. That's, in other words, the Rambam is not interested in giving me an account, a historical account, of what the process of Moshe Rabbeinu was. In so much as what he's trying to do is lay the ground for a belief which will allow me to believe in the transmission of the Torah from Sinai until the present day. That's what I want to claim. Yeah.
Why are the Ikrim not now in the wrong order?
What?
Wouldn't I expect Ikr 8, which is the Torah itself, to come before Ikr 7, which is the drashas of the Yukim Omidus, or the derivations from the Torah Shepetal?
I'll tell you two things. One answer is, I think that after creation ex nihilo comes prophecy, and then there comes Moshe Rabbeinu. I just think in the order it's better, number one. And number two, you can say like this, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu pick Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Mechaikim, to be the Sofer, to be the scribe? Why did he pick him? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked someone to be the scribe, means that's going to be the person who represents the first and the present for all tradition of the Torah, which is both Torah Shekhsav and Torah Shebi'al-Peh. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu vests his authority on a certain person who will transcribe the Torah and that which is written, and is going to transmit the Torah, that which is transmitted orally. However, what properties does this person have? The properties that this person has are in Yisod HaShvi, which is the Milo Moshe Rabbeinu. I believe that's the order.
The two different set skills required.
I understand that. So what I'm saying is that I don't think that the seventh principle is related to the skills in the eighth principle. It's a slightly separate things. Yisod HaShvi represents the rabbinical apparatus, the rabbinical establishment. First, I choose the rabbi. After that, the Rambam goes into Terem Min HaShamayim, that this person has these qualities, and because of this, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, God, confers upon him the rabbinical authority, in which he can, he gets to transcribe the Torah, to transmit the Torah. That's how I understand it. In other words, I don't think there's a need to create a synthesis of these two different qualities. I think that what the Rambam was more interested in doing is communicating, or presenting to us the most important facets of the institutions of the written and oral law, which is those which are Menashemayim, and number two, the authority, the qualities, right, of those people who are going to transmit it, and the precedent for that, which is the precedent of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what I want to say.
And what's the nature of that transmission? Meaning, is it...
We don't know.
Not the transcription, but the transmission thereafter, first of all, Per. And is there a relationship between this aspect of intelligence?
Yes, right. No, right. No question about it. There's no question. At the end of chapter 54, in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam lists the different qualities the person has to have, and the highest quality is intellect, and after that, the Rambam adds the notion of ethically imitating God, and of course the person who reached that highest level was Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu. But I think there the Rambam is actually describing the necessary qualities which are needed for the transmission of the Torah, which involve both of them. Yeah,
I'm a bit confused about this, because the thing that Moshe did that no one else ever did is the transcription.
Right.
The transmission and intellectual...
No, transmission... Well, you're right. In other words...
So why does Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy need to be qualitatively different?
I didn't make myself clear. I don't think the Rambam in Sheir HaShvi is presenting me the qualities which I need for transcribing the Torah or even hearing what a Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him. That's what I don't think. I think the Rambam in Sher Shvi is coming to define the nature of those people, the qualities that are necessary in those people who are counted on to transmit the Torah in every generation.
You don't need to be a Novi at all. Not only do you not need to be the best Novi, you need to be any Novi.
I want to tell you something. If you look at Sher Shvi very carefully, there's no Nevuah there. It's pure intellect.
But it follows after the sixth.
Six has nothing to do with seven. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam says that they're both called Nevi'im because you have no other word. But really, six has nothing to do with each other.
Why does
Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah has nothing to do with the Nevuah of the Nevi'im. It's purely intellectual.
Why then does Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah and Yisod Shvi have to be greater than anybody else before us?
Because, like the Rambam explains, and we spoke about last time, other Nevi'im are not people who can make laws.
But it's now not Nevuah, now it's to do with Chochmah, and Chazal did make laws. Why is
because the qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu and Chochmah can be found, they're not to that level.
But why not? What's the...
Once again. To transmit law requires intellect. That's Moshe Rabbeinu.
There's no real difference, according to Rambam, between Chazal and Moshe Rabbeinu.
No, except for degree. And you're right.
So it's not, why is it essential that Moshe should be greater?
Because Moshe Rabbeinu was called upon for the greatest job. By the way, Derech Agav, the Rambam in Sher Hasheni speaks of Moshe Rabbeinu learned from Yigim Lidus too, because the Rashav is Gemara Tavur Tavzayin Ma'alef. Wait, let me finish. Speaks about thousands of halachas that were forgotten for the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. But since Moshe Rabbeinu is the precedent, he's the first, he has to represent the Shmitz, the highest level. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu has qualities of intellect which had to be shared by the entire list of the servants Ram presents in the Hakdama, for example, to the Mishnah Torah. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu the highest? He's the first. He's the precedent. But it's not that, in other words, it's not that I need Moshe Rabbeinu's intellect for transcribing the Torah. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is the precedent for every Beis Din. The Mishnah, I think, the Mishnah says, until Beis Din is from Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu represents the Beis Din, right, that sets the precedent and standard of authority for all but them after them. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has to have those qualities to the highest degree, the nth degree, of the qualities of every Sanhedrin afterwards. So that's the highest level of intellect. But in other words, it has nothing to do with Nevuah. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu transcribes the Torah has nothing to do with Sher Shvi. You could have called upon another person to do that. In other words, what I'm saying is my question last week was not in place. In other words, I don't need Moshe Rabbeinu's qualities to transcribe the Torah or transmit the Torah.
What?
Why not?
I want to answer that.
That's what lets you take intellect.
That's your opinion, but I disagree with you. So in other words, I don't need those qualities to transcribe the Torah. I don't need those qualities to transmit the Lacha Mishmi Sinai. What I do need those qualities for is to set the precedent that the institution of transmission of the Torah rest upon the intellect of those people transmit the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, being the president, has to have the highest qualities of those intellect. That's my claim. Yeah.
When Chazal talk about Aspeklaria Meira, are they talking about seven or eight? I'm not asking to fit Rambam with that.
Mem Tesla Med Beis and Yavam.
Are they talking all about seven or eight?
This Aspeklaria Meira is seven.
They seem to be comparing him with other Nevi'im.
But once again, the Rambam has already told us, and I read the Rambam last time, well, the fact that they're both called Nevi'im instead of the Rambam is only just because we use the term. It has nothing to do with each other.
So that Chazal, if you like, is a bit misleading in a sense. Sounds like he's comparing him to...
But that's what the Rambam says. I read last week for the Rambam or Nevuchim, that to call them both Nevi'im is just because I use the same term, but really, in fact, they're totally different things. That's, by the way, Derech Agav, that's why it's... Why is it two principles? Make it one principle. Nevuah and Moshe Rabbeinu is the highest in Nevi'im. The answer is no. They have nothing to do with each other. They're both called Nevi'im, but the Nevuah has nothing to do with them. The Nevuah of the Nevi'im is purely that the Nevi'im are coming as Mashkichim. They're coming to strengthen the belief in Teres Moshe. But Halacha, the law, only Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein Novi Rosh HaLachash Beidavah. That's the Shittas HaRambam which we read last week. So in other words, what I'm saying is that it would be a mistake to think that to transcribe the Torah there's no indication in the Rambam anywhere if this is true. For example, where is, let me ask you a question. Chapter 54. John, listen to me. Chapter 54. The Rambam section explains
three.
What?
Section 3.
Section 1 of the Mera Nevuchim. The Rambam explains what was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ha'inis Kovedecha, comes Baruch and says, Avir Kol Tuvi. I'm going to present to you, this is the penultimate understanding of the world. Says the Rambam, I'm going to present to you all of science, every aspect of the world, and I'm going to present to you the ethical content, which is going to result in what? The Shloshes Remidas. Why not the Torah? Why the Shloshes Remidas from Moshe Rabbeinu's unbelievable conceptual view of the entire structure of all of reality of the world, as the Rambam describes it in chapter 54, what comes out from this? Not the Tayyag mitzvahs, but the Shloshes Remidas. Why is that true? Moshe Rabbeinu's intellect has absolutely nothing to do with the Torah Shebitzav. After all, I mean, even Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel both agree in Chagiga that Moshe Rabbeinu received the entire Torah, at least the Klalim received on Har Sinai. How come the Rambam doesn't mention this in chapter 54? All he mentions is the Yod Gimel Midas Harachamim. That's what you get from being shown the most comprehensive view and understanding and panorama of the structure of all of reality. The answer is, transcribing the Torah has nothing to do with the intellectual faculty of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mechaykek in Sefer, Yisoid Hashvi in the Rambam is something totally different. The Rambam is saying the entire enterprise, the entire edifice of the transmission of the Torah, which means the Torah Shebichtav and its interpretation, rests upon Kodesh Baruch Hu's reliance upon human intellect, which, derech agav, that's called Tzelem Elokim. And this is the Yisoid Hashvi in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. I want to claim from chapter 54 we see that when Moshe Rabbeinu got from his intellectual level was the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. That's it, not the Tayyag Mitzvahs.
Forgive me for bringing Chazal, but what does it mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu Medaber Mitoch Groinoi? When he talks about Modi, which is that seven
the,
or
the Ramban speaks about that, what?
Is that a seven or is that an eight?
No.
Is that an intellect?
I'm not sure that's the Ramban. Is the Ramban speaks about the Devar? That's a different thing. I don't think that's relevant here. I think, once again,
isn't it just talking about the relationship that Moshe Rabbeinu had to what was passing through?
Look, it's a very nice drasha, but I don't see that the Rambam makes any connection between the transcription of the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu's intellect.
Well, now, is that mitzvah growing in the transcription, then?
Look, you're quoting me. I'm looking at the Rambam. I don't want to say a drasha. I could sit here and say seven, we have seven shulam and drashas on Moshe Rabbeinu. I could create for you magnificent structures. Right, hermeneutical structures which have nothing to do with reality. I'm saying something like this. In chapter 54, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Aver Tol Tuvi. Right, I'm going to show you, says the Rambam. I'm going to quote the Rambam. She sigas tivam viskashim zebezeh. He apprehended the natures and connections of everything. Yodan hagaso shalakel oisam. He understood God's direction of the entire world. And what did he get out from this? Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Doesn't say the Torah Shebichtav, Allah Lemoshe Misinai. So my claim is that Moshe Rabbeinu as a scribe, he wasn't called upon to use his intellect for that. Moshe Rabbeinu's status as the greatest intellect in human history is the fact is that Moshe Rabbeinu was entrusted to precedent of every Sanhedrin that would be for all future generations. And that defines, according to the Rambam, the institution of the Torah Shebi'al Peh and the Sanhedrin. That's what I want to claim. And I think that's pretty clear in the Rambam. So in other words, what the Rambam is trying to communicate to the Ikrim is not an account of what happened. Why do I have to know how Moshe Rabbeinu apprehended the Nevuah? For what reason? What do I have to know that for? There's no reason for me to know it. What I do have to know is what is the basis of the entire Torah which has been transmitted, the Torah which the Rambam presented to us and hugged down to the Mishnah Torah, which ends with the Chesimus Hashas. Yud Gimel Mitzvahs, which are ways of interpreting the scripture, that is based upon the authority of Chazal. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has conferred authority for Chazal to use their intellects in order to both understand and interpret the Torah Shebichsav, the written law, and also to make the proper takanas, gezeiros, decrees, and fences in order to preserve the law. That relies upon the intellectual abilities of Chazal, both of course their ethical character, and this precedent is Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, by definition, as being the precedent for all this, has to have reached the highest level in both these areas. That's what I want to claim the Rambam is doing. Okay, and I think, we could say drushes from here until tomorrow, but there's no doubt that the two sharoshim, which you spoke about in the Rambam, which confer authority on an unprecedented level, according to the Shita, according to the opinion of the Rambam, right, necessitate the description of Moshe Rabbeinu, which the Rambam presents to us in the Sharash HaShvi'i. That's what I want to claim. Yeah.
Last week, Rabbi Tribbetz quoted section 2, Perek Mem Hei, in which Rambam describes the difference between the Nevi'im and Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is free from Koach HaMadama. When he taps into Ektav HaShek, right, there's no Koach HaMadama. Right. That's the difference between Moshe and all the other Nevi'im.
Right. And why is that important? Because when a Navi interprets a Pasuk, he has to use his intellect. If he uses his Koach HaMadama, he'll get it wrong.
He'll
have an emotional or imaginative leaning,
right,
which will get in the way of the rationality of the halacha.
So last week I misunderstood and thought the Rabbi Shulz was saying that's how Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah directly.
But now my
question is going to be different. Then, when Chazal are darshaning a pasuk, does that mean they're tapping into the active intellect without using Koach HaMadama? In the same way that Moshe
they're using their own intellects.
But that's not the same mechanism that Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was...
I'm not sure how the intellect works. Could be called every intellect taps into the active intellect. I mean, it could possibly be intellect. It could possibly be that every intellect taps into the active intellect, as a person learn. Well, intellect also comes from God, but they're tapping... In fact, actually, what they're doing is, we spoke about, is that when the Torah, or the Nevuah, represents the thoughts of God, and the Chalal are interpreting that. So Kupas, they are tapping into the active intellect.
Is this Chacham Adif Minavi? Is this the same?
Yes, for sure Chacham Adif Minavi, for sure. No question about it.
They're not really discovering things, they're just tapping into existing...
Right, that's fine.
Whenever Einstein discovers something,
that's for sure. No question about it. The Rambam, yeah.
So Takanas of Chazal, Gzeres of Chazal are all derived, because they're already there in the fabric of creation, just to be tapped into.
Could possibly... No, it doesn't sound like all of the Ramban. The Ramban is discovering it there. I know, I disagree with what you're saying.
Okay.
It's not there in there. They're using their intellects in order to understand the psukim. But in other words, for example, the Rambam says in Perek Beis that one Sanhedrin can overturn the limit of a previous Sanhedrin. So it's not that they're tapping into something which is already there. According to Ramban, it's already in there. They just press a button and it comes out. According to the Rambam, they're using their active intellects in deciding, in an intellectual way, what drasha is best used from the pasuk. But they're using their own intellects. I'm not sure. In other words, the Rambam does say that when a person thinks, a person imitates God. The Rambam has said that not about one Nevi, about every person who thinks. According to the Rambam, the active intellectualization is in fact actually the way God intellects things. So, in other words, when we speak about the Nevuah by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not exactly clear what we mean there. Because, I mean, every person intellectualized. Moshe Rabbeinu just reached the highest level of intellect. In other words, his intellect was much more powerful. But it might be that, in truth, right, ontologically speaking, Moshe Rabbeinu's intellectual powers were just for stronger and greater and deeper, right? But in other words, in form, in essence, right? Right? It's analogous to every person who uses intellect. I mean, if you look at what the Rambam says, the four differences between Moshe Rabbeinu and Nathan Neviim, what are these four things are? Totally normal Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look at the four things, he doesn't even sound like a Navi.
Well, I was going to ask you, was Moshe a Navi at all in the sense of the other Navi at all?
That's what I'm telling you.
I know you're saying he wasn't just more, but even at all.
Right. In other words, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says in the Mordechai, we quote the Rambam last time, to say Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi and all everybody else was a Navi is just using a term. There's no question about it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him told him the Torah, that's for sure. But in other words, the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu in Yisrael HaShvi'i, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi in the sense of Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals to him the written Torah, and Elohim Moshe Mitzinah. But what's going on in Perek, in Yisrael HaShvi'i, right, the intellectual level of Moshe Rabbeinu has nothing to do with the Nevuah necessary for transcribing the Torah. I think that's pretty clear.
Rabban Shal Chachamim.
Right. Oh, very good. Very good.
Beginning 54.
That's very good. Where's that?
Beginning 54.
Oh, very good. That's very good. That's it. That's how the Rambam ends the Mer Nevuchim. So in other words, the Mer Nevuchim is ended in 54 with the Rambam focuses on the concept of wisdom.
Section 154, he says it as well.
Okay, fine, very good. There's no question about it. So if, in other words, how the Rambam understands Moshe Rabbeinu to be the rabbi par excellence, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is. This, that the Torah was transcribed to him, we also, that's part of Yisrael HaShmini, but has nothing to do with the unique nature of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. In fact, the interesting is that if you look here in Yisrael HaShmini, the Rambam doesn't mention any of the unique virtues of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. He doesn't say anything at all about it. It's a different principle. Okay, I know this is a chiddush, but it's not a chiddush. It's what the Rambam is saying. Okay?
Before Matan Torah was Moshe.
I don't want to speak up before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah. It's not irrelevant. But all I'm saying is, we're speaking about after Matan Torah, before Matan Torah. In other words, what we're saying is that there's no need that the popular conception that Moshe Rabbeinu's intellect was vital in his transcription of the Torah or his transmission of Halacha Mishpat Sinai. In my opinion, that's a misnomer.
So, in summary, there are three systems at work here. There's traditional Nevuah of the other Nabim. That's got nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
There's the ultimate intellectualization, and that's Teresh Abal Teper, which is Moshe
the understanding of the... No. It could be Teresh Abal to understand the Tamiya Mitzvahs.
Okay, Tamiya Mitzvahs. And right. Then there's the third system, which is the Mechaikik, and we really don't have any clue how that works.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with Nevuah.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with intellect.
Right.
It's something else.
Right, and that's just Yisrael HaShmini. And I claim that any attempt to unite them is just going to land you with smoke screens and confusion. This is the most fundamental way of understanding this. Okay, that was interesting. But things are getting more interesting. I want to go, actually, a little bit deeper into the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu. But, namely, how is Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah understood in the continuing generations? And this is going to actually bring us to a very, very interesting, deep, and controversial topic. But of course, we don't stay away from controversy. We're going to speak about an interesting, actually, dispute. No, there appears to be, there's an Ari. The Arizal speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. But since we don't teach Kabbalah, and I don't understand Kabbalah myself either, but this understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is presented in the Egeres HaKodesh, in the Tanya, in Perek Yotes, which in the popular version of the Tanya is Dav Kuf Chav Zayin. What I'm going to do next week is focus on the Bala Tanya's understanding of the Ari's comprehension of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. And then we're actually going to take a look at what the Nefesh HaChayim has to say about Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, which I think he speaks about in, could it be, not Perek Yotes, right, Perek Tezvav, Shar Aleph, right.
Tezvav.
Right. In other words, there's going to be, in my opinion, just no less than the dispute between the Baal HaTanya of Shechaim and the Tzimtzum. As the Baal HaTanya and the Shechaim, as I've explained many times, took actually a middle path, but here it's going to be extreme. There's a very decisive and fundamental dispute between the Baal HaTanya, in my opinion, the Ari, and the Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim V'Loshana, as the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, which will actually focus upon, really, all revelations in Chochmah that take place later in history. Is this part and parcel of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah or not? Okay? But we will explore that in Mishnah next week from an undisclosed location, Yerushalayim HaKodesh, till next week. Hagutavach, and be well.